Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Yes, Lord Father, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that you are here with us, Lord, present with your church, Lord. And we come and pray, Father, tonight as well, Lord, and with last week as well, Father, that speaking about you, Lord, God, being our first love. And whenever it is, you come, Lord, and you show us certain things in our life, Father, that has taken priority over you, Father. We have lost vision, Lord, lost that passion. I come and pray, Lord, that there would be no condemnation, Father. And for us to realize, Lord, for those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. You are not the one condemning us, Lord. But when you come to point out things, Lord, and to show us stuff, there's always the loving voice of a Father that says, come to me, let me fill that thing. You are searching in places where you should not be seeking for that thing. You cannot find it there. And may we hear that loving voice, Lord, of a gracious God coming to help, Lord. And whenever we, Father, feel like, no, we've gone too far this time, Lord, we've messed up once again, Lord, you're just saying to us tonight, Lord, that is our own judgment on ourselves. That is not your word towards us. Yes, Lord, you expect much, Father, but it's your grace with us that enables us to do what you've called us to do, Lord. You're calling us to nothing, Father, that you're not willing to do through us. Nowhere, Father, do you say, okay, go and do this thing on your own, and when you have completed that, then I'll be with you. No. Thank you, Father, for your love towards us. Thank you, Jesus, for being a faithful high priest. Tempted in every single aspect. And there you are. Let that word sink in. Everything that you are facing, that you are struggling with, that you are going through, Jesus was tempted in every aspect, as we are. Just without sin. He endured to the very end. He knows that temptation until it's reached its peak. We haven't. And because he's done that, he doesn't say, look, I made it, you didn't, I'm condemning you. No, he says, because I've done that, you can come to me, and I will help you in time of need. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And we pray, Father, for revelation that can only come from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're continuing with Jesus, our first love. Remember and repent. And as I was just walking through this again this week, I just realized that in this time, you know, I was thinking about a funny passage of scripture between Jesus and the disciples as he gives them commands and to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit that is to come before he ascends into heaven. And as he goes, now I kind of get it, you know, I think I would have done the same, and we would have if we were there as well. And Jesus is gone and they're still looking up into heaven. They're just standing there. Obviously, you know, it's not something you see every day. And then the angel appears and he says, men, why are you looking into heaven? The same way he went, he will come again. Go and do what he has called you to do. You know, in this times as well, you know, we many times also stuck staring into heaven. We're stuck staring into other stuff. And in this context of fear, you know, the focus is not quite what it should be. Focused on a lot of stuff, reading up about a lot of stuff. That's not necessarily wrong. It's good to be informed, but the question is, where is the focus? Because I should be fixed on Jesus and Jesus alone. Now there's that bit of a difference. When Paul writes to the church, he says, be aware, your enemy is walking around like a prowling lion, seeking whom to devour. He's walking around. Be aware, but do not focus on him. Focus on Jesus. Fixing eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But be aware. And there we're going through this as well. And as we're speaking about Jesus, our first love, the question is also, but where is the focus at the moment? And I know, you know, recently, specifically, social shutdown coming, a lot of questions about a lot of stuff, choices to make. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep that focus there. Be informed. And whatever you do, do it out of conviction. And also ask yourself the question, and it's challenging sometimes, but as your opinion about certain things changed a lot, are you going from one side to the other? Because scripture says, when we are mature in Christ, when we're growing in Christ, we will not be tossed to and fro by the winds of human cunning, deceitful schemes. will be steadfast, immovable. But live a life of conviction. And as we're going through that, this conviction must be first and prominent, that Jesus is our first love, that everything we do for Him and because of Him. To Him and through Him. That is who we live for. And as we go through this, and I'm going to recap just last week's 2 points as well. For those of you who weren't here last week, come and speak to me afterwards. We'll deal with that. I'm just making a joke. I'll recap for you what we spoke about, what we went through. As we are building on that today with another 2 points. But we made these 2 points last week in the context of Jesus, our first love. Point number one was, remember who God is and what He has done. And point number two, remember to what we are called. And then, just to say that again, you know, it's specifically in this time when we lose focus, it's something that we should remember is who Jesus is and what He has done for us, to keep Him as our first love. And then the statement that we made is, when you realize that Jesus is still your first love, when you still have that passion and everything is just about Him, how do you remain there? By remembering who He is and what He has done for you. And secondly, also by remembering to what we were called. You know, like He writes to the Israelites in Jeremiah 2. And He says to them, you did not ask, where is the Lord who led us out of Egypt? You did not ask, where is the Lord? And for us, that translates to salvation, being slaves to sin. Slaves in Egypt, led into the promised land, a life living in the presence of God. From slaves to sons. That is what God did for us. That is the gospel. And we need to remember that. And we need to ask ourselves the question that at this moment, how is my heart towards the gospel? Is it something neutral? Yes, I've heard that before. Yes, it's familiar words. Or is it sweet words every single time? Because the moment the gospel becomes a neutral message for us is the same time we think we are not in need of the grace of God. Something, I've added something. Today I don't need the grace of God. That's why the gospel is not good news today. But when we remember who we are without Jesus, and those words, sweet, sweet words, that a holy, loving God came and laid down His life for me, it should move me every single time. Knowing that I'm in need of grace today, as I was the first day that I called upon His name. The gospel will always be the good news that a loving God is busy saving. And we should also remember who He is, a holy God. Something that we don't understand in our context, something we need a revelation of. And we'll get to that at the end as well. And asking the question, do we have information about who God is, or do we have a revelation of who God is? Because there's a difference. I've heard it said, or I've seen, I've experienced the holiness of God. I understand what it means. And when we understand who God is and we understand what He did for us, then we know to what we are called. It makes sense. For His glory, that's fine with me. However that looks, however that plays out, I'm happy with that. Like He says to the church in Smyrna, you are going to be killed for my name's sake. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. We are called towards that. And even in this interesting times that we are living in as well, and where we are headed, it says in Revelations 14 verse 10, it says to those who will be taken captive, to captivity they will go, and for those who have been destined to be slain by the sword, by the sword they will be slain. This is a call for the perseverance of the saints. We're going to have to endure. And then we're like, no, no, no. That's the special revelations people. We're not them. We're not there yet. But then Jesus said the same in the gospel. If they hated me, they will hate you. They said strange things about me, they will say it about you. This will happen. The apostles experienced that. They went in Acts 4, got captured, beaten, because they were proclaiming the name of Jesus. And when they walked away, Scripture says, and they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Knowing to what they are called, persevering in that. That is what we spoke about last week. And we're going to read and build on that, another 2 points of what it is that we should remember when we need to keep Jesus our first love, or return to Him as our first love. So let's read together, Revelations 2, from verse 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, say this, I know your deeds, your toil, and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you have found them to be false. And you have persevered and have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. For else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And like we said last week, you know, we again look at this church and we think, yo, it's a good church. I mean, there's not a lot wrong in that picture. Just simply the priority of Jesus is not where it should be. But other than that, they're busy with everything that Scripture expects of us. Important to note that as well. Are we going to look at deeds in a moment? The things that they are doing are not bad. It's actually what Scripture commands of us. We must be full of good works. Be rich in good works. That's what the Scripture says. Makes the statement in Timothy 3 verse 7, just after speaking about salvation and God coming out of mercy to save us, he says, I want you to insist on this, that those who say they believe in God, that they devote themselves to good works. It's something that should flow out. Insist on this. It's supposed to be there. The church must abound in good works. So the good works that they are enduring in, that's not the problem. You cannot tolerate evil men. You have that moral purity. Be holy as he who called you is holy. Strive for holiness with which no one will see God. But the pure in heart, they will see God. It's things that Scripture expects of us. Abide in my word. Like the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, some of you should have been teachers by now. You should grow in doctrine. That's settled. They have that. And it says you must endure in persecution. Rejoice when trials and tribulations come. They are doing that. Just simply, Jesus is not the first love. And he'll remove the church out of its place. And he did do that with all of the churches to whom he wrote these letters till this day. And the question is Jesus still our first love? And when we speak about Jesus, our first love, it has to do with two things mainly. You can interpret it in these two ways. And again, you need to to discern for yourself where you are at the moment. Which one of these apply to you? So we have, you can read it on the board there. As we love Jesus at first, has to do with chronology. If I look back at my life, when I came to salvation, as I walked with God, and think to yourself, because Scripture asks this of us, remember from where you have fallen. Look back, think. Think about your relationship with God, your walk with God. How is your love relationship with God when you look back? Is it at its highest point right now? Is it a bit lower than where it was? That original passion that you have when you came to salvation, where are you at the moment? Remember. Look back. Think. As we loved Jesus at first. And then secondly, Jesus is my first love. It has to do with priority. So the first one, what many times happens is we fall into a bit of a slave mentality. Working for God. I need God's approval, I need God's grace, His love, His forgiveness, so I'm working for God. So it's not necessarily an active choice to put something else in the place of God, but my relation with God has shifted a little bit. I don't understand. And as humans, we have to acknowledge this. It doesn't make sense always to us, this message of the gospel. Again, that information is there, but has the revelation dropped? It is really free. It is grace. It's something that you do not deserve. And then many times you are like, but can't I prove myself just a little bit? Can't I work for it just a little bit? Is there no solo mission, Lord? Are we always in this together? Is there nothing that I can do? And many times we forget that place and we start working for God and it becomes duty instead of delight. It's hard work. There's not that much joy in it. You know, to ask the question, when someone asks you the question, okay, listen here, you've served God for a long time, But what if someone else, an hour before they die, give their life to Jesus? Is that fair? And the moment you think to yourself, no, I don't know if that's fair. You know, if I've done a little bit more than they have, then you hear. You've fallen into that place of duty. And inevitably, when we think it's not fair for someone to come to salvation an hour before they die, and we living our whole lives, we think we add something. Do you see that? We think we add a little something. It's not fair, they did nothing, I did something. No, it's grace. It's undeserved. It's the gift of God. And every good thing that flows from our lives is God doing it through us. We can boast in nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. And then the second one, that is actively has to do with idolatry, placing something instead of God in that place. For the guys, if the Springboks kicked off now at 6, where would you be? This is just a question. You know, and many times we don't think about it like that. But there's subtle times when we actively choose stuff above God. So that is actively making that decision. When you look back the last month, the last year, you look back at your life, the decisions that you've made, the things that you've engaged with, is there an actively choosing something more than God? Scripture says, Jeremiah 2:33, how well do you direct your course to find love? We do it so easily. We try to find fulfillment in stuff that we should not do. Try to find purpose. Try to find meaning. That is the second one. But let's just look at that first one. It says here in Revelation 2 verse 5, I love what the New Living Translation says. It says, look how far you have fallen. Look back. Think about your relationship with Jesus. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Turn back to me. That is what repentance is. Yes, there will always be a turning away from something. There will always be a laying down of sin. But the main thing is not the turning away from sin. That's not the main focus. The main focus is not the laying down of the something else. The main focus is the turning towards God. Turning to Jesus, turning back to Him. That is Christianity. You know, many times we have a Christianity of don't. Brothers and sisters, don't. Don't do this. Don't get caught up with that. Don't get stuck there. But Christianity is a Christianity of follow, a do. Follow God. And as you follow Him, you will see that certain things are not contributing to following God. It's hindering your relationship with God, but that's what it's about. It's not primarily about don't. It's about follow. Follow Him. Draw near to Him. Seek Him with everything in you. And the rest will fall away. Like Paul wrote to Timothy, fight the good fight, knowing to what you were called. By the prophecies made about you, wage the good warfare, holding to faith and a good conscience. Run. The other stuff you will lay down. Looking to Jesus. That is the main focus. I can't remember who said it, but they said the biggest competitor for devotion to Christ is duty for Him. The biggest competitor for devotion to Christ is duty for Him. Again, that thing that, you know, I want to add a little bit of something to my salvation. It can't just simply be grace and I'm forgiven. You know, many times we do that with prayer or fasting, and we get that bit of a sensation whenever we are called to something, and when something appears, I don't know if I've prayed enough to do this. You'll never pray enough to do that if God does not do it through you. He's the one working it through us. He's the one doing that work. And I want to ask us that question as we are sitting here tonight. Is your main idea about kingdom, building the kingdom of God, laboring in the kingdom of God, is it primarily the idea of working for God, or is it the knowing that I'm working with God? It says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, God makes His appeal through us, be reconciled to Christ. Then in chapter 6 in the beginning it says, as co-workers with Him, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. And again, as co-workers with Christ, we implore you not to receive the grace of God in vain, but we are working with God. It's like the older brother in the house, not rejoicing when the younger brother comes back, saying to the father, I've been working for you this whole time, I've been doing a lot of stuff the whole time, and you've never given me a lamb to celebrate with my friends. The father's like, but everything I have is yours. Don't you realize that? Stop trying to get something. Just simply know that you are loved by Him, and it's enough just to be with Him. To be with Him. Not just receive something from Him. It takes us to point number 3. Remember that devotion comes before duty. Remember that devotion comes before duty. And here we have to ask ourselves the question. When it comes to duty for Jesus, the things that we do, are you only at church when you serve? Only when you're on that team? Only when you need to set up? Only when you are in the band? Then duty has taken the place of devotion. I'm not just there because I love to be with Him. I need to shift my heart again to that place. Jesus, it's simply about You. And sometimes, you know, we get funny ideas. Don't do that. Many times we think, okay, I realize now that I'm reading the Bible just because of duty. I feel I have to. I'm praying just because I feel I have to. I'm serving here or there just because I feel I have to. So I'm going to stop reading. I'm going to stop praying until I just feel like it spontaneously. That is not going to happen. Do what God has called you to do. It says they turn back to Me and do the works you did at first. But do those things. But just do it as you are turning back to Me. As you are opening your Bible and you tell God, Lord, I've been doing this out of duty and I'm 10 to 1 going to do it now again. But as I do it, Lord, won't You come and shift my heart? As I turn to You and pray, Lord, come and give me again a revelation of who You are and what You've done. Lord, I'm going to church. I'm going to pack out that chair. I'm going to lead that song, Lord, but as I do it, won't You just come and stir my heart again? Because I'm so focused about what the other people need. They need to sit in this chair. They need to hear this song. But Lord, come and work in me again. Small group leaders, your time spent in prayer and in Scripture, is it to prepare for small group? Or is it simply to be with God? Devotion with Him. When Monday comes, Tuesday comes, Wednesday small group, now I want to dive in because I need to give something to someone. Or is it simply because of who God is? Spending time with Him. His devotion still leading the way so that duty can flow out of that. As the order swapped around a little bit. Now let's turn to the idols. Jesus says, and He writes to the Israelites in Jeremiah 2 verse 13. And it says the following. For My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken Me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You have forsaken Me, the fountain of living water. You have actively tried to go and seek something else to provide for you what you can only find in God. You have actively made that choice. And many times we don't like to admit it to ourselves. You know, we get a little bit deceived sometimes. We remain dumb. We do that. And we don't like to admit it to ourselves. I mean, you don't go to yourself in the morning and say to yourself, hey self, today we're going to forsake the fountain of living water and we're going to try to find fulfillment in something else. Because as you say that, you'd realize, okay, wacht 'n bietjie. Self, we are going to repent now. And we're going to turn back to the fountain of living water. Because this does not make sense. And we don't see it automatically. But what we do see, and what you will realize, is all of a sudden there's a bit of a striving inside of me. There's no peace. There's no joy. I'm fighting for something. I'm trying to work to something. I'm a little bit more irritated, a little bit more frustrated. And it's directed at a thing. If I can just get that thing or that place or that, I want that. That's the moment this happens. Because you're trying to find something somewhere that you will not find. It's not there. Maybe many times you hear this in Secunda. If I can just live somewhere else. Broken system. It won't give you the fulfillment. It's not where you are. It doesn't work like that. You know, we saw that in the beginning of the year with a mile in the shoes of Adam and Eve. And God formed the man and placed him in the garden. What gave the garden meaning was that God took him there. You have to realize who God is and what He has done and where He has placed you and what He has called you for. That is what gives meaning to this. It's where God has placed you. And we want to go other places that we think can hold water because there's an ocean there, but it can't. You know, two of our friends, they made that mistake recently, Aubrey and Bianca. I'm just kidding. They actually had that fulfillment here. They knew where God had placed them. And He called them and He sends them somewhere else. But they know that it's because God sends, it's because God leads, it's because He places, that fulfillment is found there. By the way, their second child got born today, Gideon, Benjamin, Lotrit. And yeah, pray for him, not for his parents. I mean, he needs it. No, I'm just kidding. Pray for them. Yeah, but they're all fine and in good health. But just a joke. So we do that many times. That job or that thing, if I can just get there. And many times it's good things. Out of nowhere, you know, everything is as it should be. I don't know if you've experienced this many times, maybe married couples. Everything is as it should be. There's nothing really out of place. Nothing is wrong. There's nothing, you know, wrong at work necessarily, or there's something that we're working towards, or that there's place that we want to go to. Everything is fine as it should be, but there's a little bit of a tension between the two of you. There's a bit of a striving and a thing going on, you know. I'm not getting from this person what I want from them. Broken system. You're looking for water in your wife or your husband. Can't find it there. It's supposed to be found in God. Many times our children, job or a thing that we want, broken system. So engage in your heart. What is that thing that you've maybe shifted your heart towards? And turn it back to God. Takes us to the last point. Remember and repent. Point number four. Remember that God alone can sustain us. Remember that God alone can sustain us. And then the question is, how do we forget that God alone can sustain us? It's when we forget point number one. We're going to actually see that the root of the whole thing is point number one, and the fruits that flow out of that is 2, 3, and 4. Because it's the moment I forget who God is and what He has done when I think I can find fulfillment in something else. But if I know who God is, if I remember what He has done, then I don't seek fulfillment in something else. If I remember who God is and what He has done, I remember to what I am called. It's fine by me if it gives glory unto Him. Doesn't matter how it unfolds, because I know who He is, I know what He's done. And I remember that devotion comes before duty. The love of Christ compels me because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. So that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for Him, who for their sake died and was raised again. The love compels us. We understand who God is. And the question we need to ask ourselves as well as we are sitting is that question. Do I have information or revelation? Have I heard who God is, or have I experienced the holiness, but still the loving, gracious kindness of God? And if not, what do we do? You turn to Him. You open up your Bible. You go on your knees and you pray, Lord, come and reveal to me who You are. Scripture says that no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws Him, and no one knows the Father unless the Son reveals Him to us. He needs to come and do that in us. But Scripture also says that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. He will give you that revelation if you truly pursue it. Read in Hosea 10 verse 12, break up the fallow ground, that hard places, break it up and seek the Lord until He comes and rains down righteousness upon you. But if we seek Him, He will reveal Himself to us. He delights in revealing Himself to us. Seek Him and turn to Him. I want to finish off for us with the same scripture as last week. Jeremiah 3 verse 12. Just after God says, every evil thing you've done. And for those of us who went and read through those passages in Jeremiah 2 to 5, you've seen the words that God addresses Israel with and the things that they kept themselves busy with. And that piece of scripture in Jeremiah 2:33, he says, how well do you direct your course to find love? Even the best prostitutes can learn from you. Harsh words. That's how well we turn away. That's how well we seek other things. But yet, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. Arms wide open. Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast away. In fact, I stand at the door and I knock. I don't know if you've realized, but that scripture is written to the church. Written to the church. Hey guys, Jesus is knocking. Won't you open up? Wants to come in. But I'm standing at the door and knock. I desire to come in. I desire to know. I desire to forgive. I desire to give grace so that you can be what I've called you to be. Let's stand tonight and take communion together. You can start to unwrap. A little bit easier because it's not that cold anymore. The fingers working a bit better. But as we take communion together tonight, as you eat this piece of bread, as you drink this juice, don't you just remember, think back, and whatever it is that God brings to mind, just turn to Him, just lay those things down, just pursue Him. So let's eat together, let's drink together, and just there where you're standing, won't you just reflect on your relationship with God, and whatever it is that He lays on your heart, turn back to Him. Let's enjoy it together. Yes, Lord, Father, as we take communion together, Father, just thinking back, Father, of who you are, Lord, and what you've done for us, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, come and reveal to us, Lord, the places in our hearts, Lord, and lives, Father, that's a bit shut off to you, Lord, not something we actively admit to ourselves, Lord. We need your help to even to come and show us, Father, what we truly sometimes think, believe, and feel, Lord. Because we know, Lord, there's certain things that we should not think and feel, but yet we feel like that, Lord, yet we think like that. And we pray, Lord, come and reveal to us, Lord. May we know, Lord, that when you come and reveal, it's a loving Father that's calling us back to Him, the fountain of living water. We come and pray, Lord, for every single person, Father, that's feeling a striving within themselves, Father, working to try and get something out of stuff that's not supposed to give them water. May we turn back to you, Lord, knowing that you will not look upon us in anger, Father, for you are merciful. You are gracious, Lord. And yes, Lord, we come and pray, Father, that you will just anew come and reveal to us, Father, who you are, what you've done, Lord. It's easy to see, Father, many times, Lord, we just jump into duty again, Lord. We realize we're not praying as we should, we're not reading the word, Lord, and we want more duty. But that's not the problem, Lord, it lies with the revelation. Because how can I know a holy, almighty, righteous God lay down His life for me, Lord, not open up my mouth and pray? How? How can I know, Lord, that the God of this universe that keeps all things together has given me His word, Lord, and I do not desire to read? It's because, Lord, the revelation's missing. We've forgotten who you are, Lord, and what you've done for us. And we pray, Lord, that you reveal to us anew who you are. The God of hosts, Lord God Almighty, yet the Prince of Peace, yet the Good Shepherd that lays down His life. May it be more than words, Lord, more than information, but may we know, Father, who you are. Live a life of conviction, Father, that the love of Christ compels us. And thank you, Lord, that every single time we go astray, we dwell off, Lord. You say you leave the 99 to go and look for the one. A loving God yet again pursues. If it wasn't for your love, Lord, we all would simply just go astray. But you call us back, Lord, day by day. Thank you for your love and your grace, Lord. That is the gospel. Love, a loving God, pursuing man. Thank you, Father, for your love towards us. And yes, Lord, I pray, Father, for the humility, Lord, the meekness to look in, Father, before we take this message out. And to ask ourselves again and again, Lord, weekly, monthly, yearly, but is Jesus still my first love? In the midst of everything good, Lord, busy doing what we should, but is it flowing from the right place? And thanks, Lord, that I can just come and pray, Lord, that your love and your grace, Lord, may just be known, Father, tonight, Father. For people who think, Lord, no, but they've gone far away. Surely they need to perform to come back. Lord, you say, Father, that tonight if they confess their sins, you remove it as far as the east is from the west, and you will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. In a moment, Lord, before we even can do anything, that is the love of God. That is grace. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. May striving cease, Lord. May you stop to earn something you've given freely. May that revelation just drop into hearts, Lord. That is the gospel. That's why it's good news. Thank you for your grace towards us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.